What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
Well, guys, Apple just revealed its first major product in over 8 years during the company's annual keynote. After years of rumors and reports, Tim Cook revealed the Vision Pro, earlier today. The headset incorporates both augmented and virtual reality, requiring wearers only use their eyes, hands, and voice to control it. Apple showed a variety of uses for the headset, including 3D apps, immersive movies, educational content, web surfing, and video games. In business settings, it can replace monitors and use many of the same web browsers and applications used in the workplace, including Microsoft and Adobe applications. This headset is going to come out next year, and it's going to cost $3,500.
Doesn't that sound like a lot? Like, because it looks like you're wearing a pair of goggles.
Yes,
like, it literally looks like you're getting ready to go skiing, you know? And you're like, yo, man, you got your goggles with you? I'm like, yeah, right here. And you put these things on. And that's what they look like.
So
it looks
are the
like
Apple ones better than the Facebook ones?
Yes, because they work in sync with your phone, your Apple Watch, everything. And you know what's crazy about this is like that Facebook's doesn't have is that you can scroll things with your eyes. So like you can read a book and it's just in the air and like it just knows when you want
to
scroll down.
How much does this thing cost?
$3,500.
$3,500?
Yeah.
This is what I'm trying to say to you.
Hard pass. It looks like
you're buying a set of goggles. So in other words, when you go, yo, nice goggles. Yeah, these are
$3,500. $500.
You know how much an iPhone is? They're like
$1,000.
Well, how about this? A brand new MacBook Pro. If you were going to go to Costco.
Like $1,500.
Oh, no, I was going to say more. I was going to say like $3,000.
A Pro, yes. A Pro, yeah.
Okay. So if you were going to go to Costco, because I buy my Apple products at Costco.
Bingo.
So, yeah. You go to Costco, you buy a brand new MacBook Pro.
Is this before or after you get gas and then the car wash for $7.99?
Got the car wash today for $7.99. Shout out to my people at the Costco in San Juan Capistrano. George, they were so proud of me today.
Yeah.
They were so proud of me.
Why were they proud of you?
Here's why. Because when you go and you buy the $7.99 car wash at Costco, you have to take the physical hand paper receipt from the pump.
Yeah.
How often do you think I remember to take the receipt?
Zero times.
So then I got to pull up to the car wash. I got to pull up to the car wash and I go, hey, man, sorry, bro, but I forgot the receipt. Yes, I paid for it, but sorry, bro, I forgot it. And then they're like, oh, man, come on again, dude. I'm like, yeah, I know. I forget to take the receipt. So I got the $7.99 car wash today and it started raining.
Sounds like real life.
This is why I haven't washed my car in like a month and a half because it's just gloomy and rainy. All the time.
Let me ask you guys a quick question.
Mm-hmm. I highly doubt it'll be quick, but go ahead.
Do you guys think you are going to be goggle wearing Apple users?
No. Not at $3,500.
Nope. Eventually, yes. No.
But I think we're all eventually going to be Apple goggle users.
I'm looking at the pictures of like what it's supposed to look like when you're wearing the goggles. And while it's super impressive, I used to like holding a newspaper. Then I gave that up. Then I held an iPad. Now I use my laptop or my phone. I don't know if I'm a goggle guy.
I love reading a book and holding a physical book. I'm still that nerd that likes that. I can't read it on the iPad.
I don't like having to like look down at my phone. It hurts my neck. And I feel like, you know, my old roommate had one of these things that he would put around his neck and it would like suspend your phone like kind of in the air for you. And I feel like this is a great solution to that. And like, why do you care?
Yeah,
what
but do those
like?
Things weigh?
I mean,
you put
I'm
them
sure.
around your head, or
have you looked at the back of them? Have you seen?
I have not.
Oh my god, you got to see the back of them. They've made it like so that it's having a pillow on your head because, like, hey, you're gonna wear this for 12 hours a day.
Is it the Apple Vision Pro? Is that what it's called?
Yep.
All right, I'll look at this thing.
I think we should go to the Apple Store and try them out.
Oh, really? Are they gonna have them?
Of course they will.
Yeah, they had them at the keynote thing today.
Right, but I mean, when will they have them in the store that you could check them out?
Well, I'm sure they'll have them soon because they want everybody to pre-order them.
Yeah.
That's usually what they
Tim
do when
Cook's
they release
tweet.
Them.
By the way, the stock price was up like $4 earlier today, $3.50. I think it may have closed up.
I got to be honest,
bucks.
This video that he tweeted is kind of cool. It feels like you're on like Star Trek or Star Wars or something.
I feel like anytime
stock closed
Apple,
down $1.37 though.
Apple releases like a new product, it's like very like we're all like, "Oh, I don't know if I'm going to like that," but then in the end it's like this is our life.
Yeah. I know, pretty much anything they do I'll buy.
But you're not paying $3,500. You're going to hate King somebody.
Well, no, I'm not going to. I mean, I may hate King Tim.
Tim Cook?
I may hate King Tim.
Why don't you just tweet at him?
It's a good idea. Not a bad call. Although,
at Tim_Cook.
I do think we're supposed to play golf together here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I doubt that highly.
No, it's actually true.
Tim Cook?
Yeah, the CEO of Apple.
You're going to sell him sighted?
We're going to talk about some things.
Okay.
Talk about a couple of things.
Yeah.
But we're scheduled to play.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll happen.
Right.
I may have to cancel.
Oh, I see. You'll have to cancel.
Supposed to be out in the desert, George.
Yeah.
I don't want to say too much.
You have it scheduled in your
calendar. Oh, wait. Why don't you tell me then? Tell me all about it.
I am telling you about it.
No. Go tell me.
What would you like to know?
Where is it going to be scheduled?
Oh, should I say? It's a very fancy club in the desert. Very fancy. I'm his guest. Of course. I mean, I don't have a membership there.
We can no longer.
I mean, you're not paying for
anything.
A membership.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And everything you say now, we have to just chalk it up as not credible.
Okay. Well, you see, and that's what Eric Spoelstra was trying to do to Ramona. Very rude.
Oh, hell.
Very rude. That's what I was saying earlier. It's rude.
That is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are.
There you go. So our boy Dave McMiniman's coming on next, and he's going to talk to us about this Kyrie thing.
In 7 minutes.
I like that.
Also, this Lakers thing that we've got here. The biggest questions for the Lakers offseason. All right, so what do we got here, Lindsay, sorry. What do we got here with these questions?
Yeah, Lindsay, what do we got?
All right, so this is from First Take this morning. I didn't put the questions in here, so I'll just ask you guys the questions, and they'll play sound. So the first one is AD's upcoming extension. Is this a bigger deal than LeBron's retirement
talk?
Okay,
so AD is extension eligible in August, okay? Mm-hmm, which means he's new, I think up to 4 years, if I recall correctly. Maybe it's three, I don't know. But it's currently more than the 2 years that he's owed at this point. Mm-hmm. So is this Brian Windhorst on that?
That's correct.
All right, let me hear Brian Windhorst.
That's right. And I want to just point out that Anthony Davis can't sign the extension until August. So it's going to be after he sees what the Lakers do this offseason. But Anthony Davis is still in his prime. If you want to focus on his shortcomings and the negatives, go have at it. The man is an absolute dominating player. He's vitally important for any team having postseason hopes and dreams. And they do not want him messing with free agency in 2024. That's a primary offseason thing for the Lakers. Get Anthony Davis locked down past when LeBron is even signed for.
So you heard him.
Yeah, I'm a little torn on that.
Why?
Because on one hand, I would agree. On one hand, I would say, yeah, I think you have to sign AD, and you have to assume that you'll have three more years of AD after LeBron retires. That's one side of it. The other side of it is, yeah, but he has a serious injury history, and I don't know if I want to sign this guy for that much money for three more years. I kind of would like to play it out for one more year.
So that was what Perk had to say about it. He kind of
look
went,
at you,
me and Perk.
Here,
very
let's play Big Perk. Here.
Very much,
yeah,
aligned.
Eye to eye.
So
yeah.
It
yeah.
was like should
more like eye to navel, to be honest. He's much taller than you.
Eye to bottom of beard.
Yeah,
they were like, should Pelinka and the Lakers be rushing to sign AD to an extension? And this is what Perk said.
No, they shouldn't. I wouldn't. Here's the thing: we haven't seen a healthy Anthony Davis in what, 3 or 4 years. And you have to start asking yourself, if you're the front office, if you're Rob Pelinka, can you trust AD and hand him the keys to the car? I understand. We all talk about how he's a generational talent, but health matters. And when I think about health and I think about handing the keys, durability. Can he be the number one option to take your team over the top? And we have to be honest with that question. We all expect him to be. We see it at times. But what was the biggest talk in the postseason? Can AD put together back-to-back games consistently of being dominant? Or is it the odd game or the even game AD we're going to get? When you start to have those question marks, if I'm the front office, then I'm going to say, you know what? I got to see more out of him. I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry, Perk. You don't have to apologize. It's okay. So,
I mean, but if he wanted to apologize.
No, that's okay. I know, but he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to do
okay,
that.
Okay, sure.
All I'm saying is this. On one hand, AD is injury prone. We get it. On the other hand, is he part of your long-term future after LeBron? You're taking a risk, George, not just on his health. What you're taking a risk on is when LeBron is gone, and AD is the number one, and I don't mean scoring option.
Right.
I just mean it's his team.
Right.
does AD elevate everybody, get on my back and let's do this, or does the front office have questions not just about his physical durability?
You need to pair AD with somebody.
Okay.
But basically what you do, if you sign AD to this extension, which then puts another several years onto his current deal, it means more than likely AD's career will end being a Laker.
Right, right. But here's the thing. If I said to you right now, AD or Jokic, who would you take?
Well, Jokic.
Okay, and if I said to you, AD or Giannis, who would you take?
Giannis.
Okay. And if I said to you, hey, we're making a trade with Philadelphia, you want to do that deal? Would you do that?
I said already on the record I would.
Okay. So is he the fourth best big man in the NBA?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's still pretty damn good.
No, it's very good. In the next 4 years, this is your job now because you're the general manager. Mm-hmm. You have to project the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be one of the top 4 or 5 big men in the league in 4 or 5 years? And if he's not, then do you have to think to yourself...
Well, where's Wemby fit in that category, I guess?
Call him top five. I mean, I think that's what you... Immediately, you're going to call him top five.
I wouldn't say immediately.
Okay.
Yeah. I would need to see a little bit, you know, in
you
the
NBA.
You
mean what you've seen on YouTube isn't enough for you?
Not enough to say top five All before right. he steps on the floor.
Okay.
No.
He's expected to be a top five player
right
away.
I'm not Greg Bergman, who's out on Wemby before he even steps on the floor. He's calling him a bust before the kid's even played a game.
Well, because he's worried he's going to be Sean Bradley'd. Or yeah, Yao Ming.
That's not how it's. He has way more athleticism than both those.
Just
guys.
Saying, the data point is guys with exceptionally ridiculous height. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah. Bergman, untrained eye.
See, he didn't coach 3 times back to back champions at the Jewish Community Center like I did.
Correct. Look, ultimately, I think you sign AD. I think you got to do it because at the very least, you have one. It's so hard to get one of those guys. Even if he is just a top, even if he's a top five guy, it's hard to get one of those guys, like top five big men.
The other reason you have to sign him, and this is on the side of signing, is because let's say it's 3 years down the road and you finally decide he's not for us anymore. You've got him as an asset. I'm not saying he's going to have top value, not at all. I'm just going to say you don't want him walking out after 2 more years.
All right, Dave McMiniman, we'll ask him about this and this Kyrie nonsense, which I feel like is a nothing burger next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ooh, come on now. Right here. This song hits you right here.
Right where?
Right here.
Right in the sternum?
In the heart, he's talking about.
Oh, I thought that was the sternum. I don't claim to know much about anatomy.
I'm Brian McKnight, man. Come on.
Mm.
By the way, we'll have a Bobby Alvarez update from the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust community on Twitter.
Don't back down, Bobby.
We'll have an update in a moment.
Don't you back down, bro.
I miss you.
Thank you.
No, not you.
Oh, but you were serenading me.
That was part of the song. Ever cross your mind? You know who crosses my mind?
Tell me.
Dave McMiniman.
McMiniman.
Who joins us here now. Hello, Dave McMiniman.
Hey, gentlemen.
I didn't think you'd be serenaded by Brian McKnight to begin this part of the program.
I'm just curious if that song is being played to set up the tone of the segment.
No, absolutely not.
Irving has been sending missives to LeBron James. Is that what we're going to get to? Is that the layered kind of radio production we have going on right here?
Now, if Chris was actually in the building today, he probably would have done that, but he recorded those before he knew you were coming on this segment. So it is just all coincidence. But I feel like this Kyrie thing, like, It is a plea for help in a way that I've never thought I would hear from anyone. This is one of those moments where I feel like if Kyrie had an agent, he or she would be pulling out their hair right now. How do you view all of this?
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is a non-story. If LeBron James had a different contract situation, perhaps we could begin to get into it. But it's important to, by me saying a non-story, of course, The Athletic, Bleacher Report, they're not making up what they're printing, but what they are being told from, clearly this is not coming from LeBron James's side of things. This is a one-man operation. This is from the Kyrie Irving camp. And when that information gets disseminated, there's no, but what about LeBron's contract? Or, well, LeBron has to ask for a buyout. That's asinine. This isn't going to go anywhere. But clearly, you know, people who are close to Kyrie Irving want this out there for a reason. And that reason hasn't shown itself quite yet.
I love that you're saying this, Dave, because I, too, like you, enjoy analyzing this kind of stuff. And George and I were talking about it earlier. It's like, I don't doubt that somebody said that to these guys, but that's what they want put out there. And that's what these guys do. They get it and they throw it out there. But to not know that it actually can't be done, I mean, that makes it that much more entertaining for me, Dave.
I mean, and it creates kind of a cycle of news, Scott, that, again, we do our due diligence, right? I checked in with a Dallas source. LeBron ain't coming here. I checked in with a Lakers source. We haven't spent any time with that today. So, again, it's a non-starter, but I think in this case, it's good to, you know, discuss it with you guys for any listener who was curious about it, maybe just saw the headline and maybe thought this was, you know, something attached to LeBron trying to get attention during the NBA finals, except no. LeBron James had absolutely nothing to do with this story.
Yeah, I called somebody that knows this world pretty well. I told Cappy earlier that they just laughed at first. And because I made the joke, I said, anybody trading cowboy flip-flops for cowboy boots? And they just laughed in that scenario. But yeah, huge nothing burger. But it does show, to me, it screams of Kyrie is starting to realize he doesn't have the options that maybe he thought he was going to have or he might have believed he would have?
Oh, certainly. I think that's a good kind of view on it, George, because you look at the market, the teams with cap, it's kind of similar to the market that D'Angelo Russell is going to face. There's like five or six teams with a lot of cap space. They're either in rebuild mode where they don't necessarily need a guy like Kyrie or D'Angelo Russell on their team, or they already have a young point guard that they're growing with. And so both those guys are going to face a squeezed market. And if it comes down to money, which oftentimes these things do, Kyrie Irving will recognize that Dallas can give him far more money than any other team. And D'Angelo Russell, you know, may find the same thing, and they could both be wearing the same jersey that they were last year.
All right, so Dave, let me give you how I'm reading this situation. I think you'll enjoy this. So Kyrie puts this out through his guys. They put it out there to maybe scare the Lakers into, oh my God, Kyrie's going to recruit LeBron. Now, the Lakers probably know what you've said, which is it can't actually happen. But maybe what he's trying to do is get the Lakers to go make a move to bring Kyrie to L.A., do you think the Lakers are interested in Kyrie today?
Listen, Kyrie Irving, the basketball player, at a certain price, without having to sacrifice your depth, which proved to be so vital in your trip to the Western Conference Finals, yes, in that specific narrow lane, the Lakers have interest in Kyrie Irving. Is that a lane that is attainable? Very, very doubtful.
Yeah.
Really kind of the first step would be Kyrie Irving would have to take a major pay reduction versus what he could get paid, which is, again, this is the same reason why Kyrie recruiting LeBron to Dallas is, again, a non-starter, because LeBron James would have to take a major pay reduction. And he said in the past, he did that once. He went to Miami. He left the money on the table in order to make the pieces fit with Dwayne Wade and Mike Miller and Shane Battier and obviously Chris Bosh. But after that, I'm a max player. I'm going to be a max player for the rest of my days. So, again, I just think it comes down to money here. And there is a pathway if the Lakers were to basically say, okay, we're going to be LeBron, AD, Max Christie, Austin Reeves, and Kyrie, and a bunch, and the number 17 pick and the number 47 pick and a bunch of minimum contracts.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a pathway you can go down, but when you get into this minimum contract, you should be feeling as a Lakers front office that we just went down that road 2 years ago. We saw what happened. We saw what happened, especially when injuries occurred to our quote-unquote big three, that it's just not sustainable that way. And I think the pathway of kind of rebooting with the group that got you to 8 wins away from the NBA championship is the way to go while holding on to the understanding that, hey, we still have that 29 or 20, 30 first-round draft pick that will be a post-LeBron pick that will be very valuable on the market. And if we're 40 games into this thing and we don't feel quite like the contender we intend to be, we can attach some of these assets that we retained with that pick, and all of a sudden, just like we did last year, we're going to be making a sprint in the second half of the season towards the playoff run.
Dave McMiniman with us here. All right, one last thing before we let you go.
Great answer, by the way. Very solid answer, don't you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, that was good.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we have him on, because he's good.
Mm.
So there's that. Or as LeBron would say.
Ask Dave. Dave would tell you.
So there you go. But Anthony Davis was a topic of conversation on our network today about his extension that could be coming potentially in August. How do you view that kind of playing out? What are the parameters of the extension? Like, if you have anything on that stuff, I'd love to just kind of know your overarching thoughts on it.
Well, I mean, certainly the Lakers thinking ever since they acquired Anthony Davis is it's an Anthony Davis LeBron James combo deal. And with LeBron James only under contract for sure for another year with a player option the following year, and with him openly contemplating retirement at this stage of his career, as great as Anthony Davis is, and I really think he's a great player, and I think he reproved himself to a lot of people outside in the basketball world, but also inside the building in El Segundo with his efforts this past year, especially coming back from that foot injury. But you just don't do it. You play out this year with him. You see where things stand with him and LeBron. Obviously, then you risk the second year he has left. He could opt out and leave as free agent. But listen, I've said this many times. The best thing about the Lakers trade for Dwight Howard was not re-signing Andrew Bynum to a long-term deal and not getting anything out of it. And, you know, you hope that Anthony Davis stays healthy and you get the best out of him next year. But I just don't think they're going to be in the position to be interested in a long-term extension for him this summer.
Wow, that was a better answer than the question before.
Yeah, well, also because you agree with it.
Well, no, it's solid. I mean, because here's the thing. We'll let you go, Dave. But on one hand, maybe you sign him to that extension so that you have him under contract and you can move him later down the road. But on the other hand, you know what? Maybe the better decision is he can walk. That's okay. We got out of him what we needed to.
Right. You get a championship, maybe another one, you know, so.
And you'd have the option, obviously, to extend him when the season is over. And
right.
Anthony would also have the option to look elsewhere. But listen, I think that's the bargain that they're willing to stomach going forward here, and recognizing that they're going to use this offseason as a bit of a shift to have an eye towards the future in hopefully re-signing Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves as two foundational culture switchable pieces that could fit with any superstar that could come in the future, perhaps replacing the current guard in LeBron James and Anthony Davis, where you're still giving those guys a chance to win in the moment, and you're giving yourself future flexibility should the worst case scenario occur, which is you know, these guys' bodies break down again.
I lied. One last thing. Are you willing to buy those Apple goggle things that everybody is pushing today on Twitter for $3,500?
Yeah, that's not my type of game. My younger brother, actually, I texted him. He used to have some, I don't know, back in like the Game Gear days, he had like the thing that you attach to it and wear it on your head. He looked like a moron, and that's what it reminded me of. Like,
yeah.
As great as the experience can be, you're still wearing goggles and looking.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Like
looks like you're going skiing.
Maybe if they looked like glasses, I'd take a chance, but not, I'm with you. Not goggles. Just not doing it.
Hey, Dave, you coming to the Mandy's on Saturday night?
It's the first invite I got, perhaps.
Wow.
Yeah. Shoot me the details.
You know what? I will have Dave McMiniman as my guest at the Mandy's.
Oh, there you go.
And he should sit at our table.
he would sit at our
table. He should sit at our table.
We'll put Lindsay on the case here as we got to go, because Laura's giving us the Laura's giving us the side eye, because we're about to break past the break time. Mm-hmm. Dave, thank you as always, brother.
Yes, sir. You got it.
There he is, Dave McMiniman. All right, let's tackle what he had to say after we do the award-winning Radio Tinder next.
All right, but before we do, hey, you know, listen, I've told you I've moved now. I've moved into downtown L.A. You know, I've actually legit moved into downtown L.A.
I mean, sort of.
George, it's like being bi-coastal. Sometimes you're in New York, sometimes you're in L.A. Mm-hmm. Me, sometimes I'm in South L.A., sometimes I'm in downtown L.A.
Right.
All I can tell you is this.
You watch your gutty little Padres over there?
Maybe a little bit, you know? I mean, I watched a lot of the Dodgers this past weekend.
Good for you. I'll
tell you that right now. Aaron Judge almost took the place down.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay for that wall.
You know, I think he did break the fence. Have you seen it? I mean, dude.
He did. I saw it.
Fence took some serious damage.
Great song. I got to be honest with you.
Tell me.
Be honest. Don't be dishonest.
It's a good song. You familiar with it?
Not really, but I like it.
BTS, man.
It's brand new. It's just dropped.
No, it's a couple years old.
We definitely had this conversation like when this song came out.
Oh, really? When did it come out?
A couple years ago.
Yeah, about 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago.
BTS. What's that stand for?
I don't know what it stands for, but they're a K-pop group.
Anybody know what BTS stands for? No.
Shout out to Adam Wright in the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter, you can be part of it as well by going to the community section on Twitter, type in Sedano and Cap in the search, and you can join there.
Yeah, but you could also get kicked out by the dictator.
Correct. You got to get past the velvet rope to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
All right, so what's his deal, this guy?
He says that the patio potato chips are in stock at Trader Joe's.
Oh, really?
A picture just now.
Oh, how lovely.
Yes.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
Like I said, my daughter's already went to Trader Joe's today.
Yeah. And Beto and Whittier says, with all this chip talk, I submit this banger for the win. Also, one of my regular favorite chip, because you can't get the patio chips other than the summer at Trader Joe's. The sweet Maui onion Hawaiian.
Okay. Those
kettle,
are good. Those are good.
Chips.
Those are good.
Yeah.
I'll say this. They're very, very crunchy.
Very salty.
Nice and salty. A little, and I'm not opposed to this, a little greasy.
Yeah.
Okay? But generally speaking, that's a hell of a good chip.
You know that they also make a onion ring version of it.
Did not know that.
Yeah, it's like it looks like a Funyun, but it's a Hawaiian onion ring, but it's the same flavor. Mateo, big fan.
Really?
Circle chips, he calls them.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I like this whole concept, Lindsay Baseball, of chip-offs. You know, like last week when you brought in those Doritos and I was the only one that liked those mustard Doritos, that was good. I think trying more chips is
aware. Oh my God, I saw them in the, I went to CVS the other day and saw the mustard chips.
You didn't buy them?
No.
Well, Cappy, I thought that this was problematic. You like the idea, but
then you don't want to eat them because you're saying, oh, I'm getting so fat, and I gotta go run, and I gotta do a marathon. And
the Cappy cast also doesn't like it because they said it's
that
thing.
Too.
They
yeah.
feel like you stole that from them, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
You, as in like me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
What do you guys
get? Well, and also then there's Emily who doesn't let anybody else talk about food.
That's
right.
True.
Stole that from her too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true though. I did have to go for a run this weekend and didn't really go that well, frankly, if I'm being honest about it. I kind of got to the finish line of this run.
Yeah.
And I put in some miles. I put in a couple miles.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the time.
Yeah.
God, am I slow.
Yeah. It's okay. You're old.
Old true. But I will tell you this. There's a discrimination out there that I don't like.
What's that?
Okay. There's a discrimination out there, and I can feel it.
Okay.
When you're running, okay, if you're jogging and you're jogging really slow and somebody else is jogging at a better pace, they give you like this judgmental look, like you shouldn't even be running. You're so slow, you shouldn't even be running. So then I started to pick it up.
Yeah.
I started to pick it up and I noticed.
Did they give you the, hey, left, coming on your left?
Yeah, they give you, hey, on your left, on your left, on your left. I'm going so slow.
Yeah.
I'm barely moving.
Yeah.
Other runners are looking at me like, how dare you even be out here in our way?
Right.
So then I pick up my pace.
Yeah.
I pick it up a little bit, right? Yeah. I'm starting to feel good now, yeah. Right? I'm in
By the way, you're schwitzing now just even talking
about
it. Well,
because, I mean, look at me. Look at the motion that I'm in, right? And then all of a sudden, as I'm picking it up, now runners are looking at me like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Hey, hope you're having a nice day.
How tired are you at that point?
Very tired.
Yeah.
Very tired. There's a discrimination out there, okay, about running. If you're super slow, the faster people, they look down on you. Just so you know. It's not nice.
Same with the cycling community, I would imagine.
No question about it.
Yeah.
Get out of the way.
Yeah.
You're in the way here. Yeah. What are you doing, pal?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
True.
All right, real quick before I get to Bobby Alvarez, let's talk about the finals real quick.
Okay, what would you like to talk about?
So game three, pivotal in the series. Do you know the percentage that go on to win the series that win game three in a 1-1 tie?
62.4%.
Actually much higher, 80%.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, 80%.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked about this series, there were a couple of things that I thought would be important, right? It was, how are the others playing, right? Mm-hmm. The non-Jokic, non-Jimmy Butler guys.
Mm-hmm.
And in game one, Denver's other guys balled out.
Big time. Big game.
And in game two, they did not. And the Heat's guys balled out.
No question.
Duncan Robinson had 10 points in the fourth quarter. All 10 points of his came in the fourth quarter.
When your leading scorer on Miami is Gabe Vincent,
right,
you know your other guys have had a good night.
He has played really well during the playoffs, though. He has earned himself a really, really good contract, and I'm happy for a guy like that. Shout out to the Gauchos of Santa Barbara.
When Duncan Robinson, as you just point out, scores 10 points in the fourth quarter, that's a contribution that you're not really expecting necessarily to get, but when it happens, you're more likely to win. Not that dissimilar.
And he gave you a snarl at the end.
He didn't give you like an ear, like,
no,
like
the cupping
a Hulk
to the
Hogan
ear is what he did in Boston, but he gave you a snarl.
A snarl?
Once he hit, because he hit a couple layups. He had two big threes, one in Jeff Green's face from like 30 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just like, oh, you're going to try to guard me out here? No, I'm going to shoot this.
And I'm going to snarl at you after it's done.
Well, he snarled after the layup. But nonetheless, I mean, it was what I've tried to tell you about this series that I think that sticks out to me is that Miami's the tougher team. And I don't remember who it was in the postgame for Denver yesterday that said that, basically, that they want to play at their pace or whatever, because that was another thing we talked about.
Well,
playing
coach,
at each other's paces.
Their coach, Michael Malone,
is playing with fire.
Well, he wasn't bashful yesterday
but
after
he's playing
the game.
With fire.
Well, I want to hear what you mean by that.
Yeah.
But he was not bashful after the game in criticizing his team's effort. And in particular, criticizing their lack of defense. There were, it seemed like, a lot, I mean a lot, of open looks for the Heat. So Malone, after the game, goes to the press conference and he's like, yeah, our defensive effort just sucked. Really was non-existent. So when you say he's playing with fire, what exactly are you talking about?
So he's the type of guy that lives with brutal honesty, right? And that stuff gets old after a while in the world of sports as you know it, right? Like, not everybody can play for Tom Coughlin, right, all the time. Or Bill Parcells, or those guys who are just going to mother bleep you. And like, their emotions run high, right? Whether it's they love you or they're cursing you out, right? And I think that when I looked at their team, two of the guys that I thought, and I say this respectfully because they're one of 450 guys in the entire league, right?
Okay, here comes a but.
That I think could be potential issues for them. One was Michael Porter Jr., I told you before the series, because I feel like at times he makes...
He scored 5 points yesterday, George.
Well, but forget that. He just makes silly mistakes, right? Like, he makes mistakes on the floor a lot. And he's become a much better player than he was, for sure, particularly on the defensive end. But yesterday, Miami ran him through the grinder in pick and roll. And he was like missing assignments, running with the wrong guy, left guys open like Duncan Robinson or Gabe Vincent or whatever, right? Like, you can't have that. This is the same guy that in the Lakers series, the Lakers almost pulled off a victory because he couldn't inbound the damn ball.
But why is the coach, though, why are you saying he's playing with fire?
Okay, let me get to that. And then you've got a guy like Aaron Gordon,
okay,
right, who is, you know, he went from being the best guy on a really bad team to being the fourth best guy on a championship level team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that deserves a lot of credit and praise. But I would also say that he's a guy that can run hot and cold, right? Both output and even just like kind of where he fits, because he doesn't have a traditional skill set. He's very athletic, but he's not like he's some great shooter or he's a great ball handler. He's a great finisher is what he is. It's a very limited skill set offensively. Excellent defender. So I think he runs hot and cold both on the floor and perhaps even with his emotions. So I thought those two guys could be big problems for them in the series as it progresses if Miami can get some wins. And what I mean by Michael Malone is playing with fire is that eventually the yelling, it gets old. And so I heard yesterday that Michael Porter Jr. left before talking to the media. Aaron Gordon had his hands or his head buried in his hands at his locker for minutes upon minutes upon minutes upon minutes, then literally just got up and left, didn't speak to the media.
And you're kind of putting two and two together here that maybe they got balled out after the game.
Oh, well, if he did that publicly, Lord knows what he did behind the scenes. So while I respect Michael Malone because he wears his emotions on his sleeve, I think sometimes that can backfire on you.
Well, look, I think that the Heat, as an example, very much do things their way, and they find players who can deal with their way.
Right.
And I
no
think,
feelings there.
And I think that Michael Malone has gotten this team to this point by coaching the way he coaches. And his players, I would think, are accustomed to the style by now. The question you're asking is...
But not at this point in the season. They've never been here.
But he's driving them the way he has always coached them.
Right. I'm just saying that it's a very volatile situation in the sense of that can either work perfectly and they come out and they blow their doors off. Denver blows out Miami in game three, or it can remain in there. It can fester and it could become an issue throughout the rest of the series.
You don't want to take guys down. You want to hype guys up.
Yeah.
And I understand what you're saying, that the yelling and the, I'll call it negativity.
Some guys grip it too tight.
Let's see what happens.
Right.
As this series goes on.
But I think that's one, I'm just saying it's not, I'm not saying one outcome is definitely happening. I'm just saying it's something to look out for. When I say playing with fire, I mean it's that. It's just like something to take note of now, and let's see what the reaction is as the series progresses.
Mm-hmm. It has become interesting. I will say this again. I said earlier, like, if you don't have a team in this thing and you don't have like a lot of rooting interest in this thing, but you're just a sports fan, the storylines of these two franchises, it makes it exciting.
Bobby Alvarez Jr. has apologized.
Apologized for what?
Well, I don't know about it. He's apologized to the girls, said sorry if I came off too strong. Actually put flower emojis.
Oh,
hey,
care.
Give them flowers.
For the girls.
Okay.
And a puppy dog gif of the dog just kind of crawling like, I'm sorry.
Typical man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just like, just groveling.
And then, you know, he said to me, you know, just kidding. He was just kidding.
Oh, it's just a JK.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Hey,
yeah.
Just remember one thing before we hit this top of the hour
Bobby
break.
So Bobby Alvarez?
Yeah. Come back?
Return flight from hell.
Come back from hell. On right. Breezy.
One more hour to go. Great song. I got to be honest with you.
Tell me.
Be honest. Don't be dishonest.
It's a good song. You familiar with it?
Not really, but I like it.
BTS, man.
It's brand new? It's just dropped?
No. It's a couple years old.
We definitely had this conversation like when the song came out.
Oh, really? When did it come out?
A couple years ago.
Yeah, about 2 years ago, maybe? A year and a half ago?
BTS, what's that stand for?
I don't know what it stands for, but they're a K-pop group.
Anybody know what BTS stands for? No?
Shout out to Adam Wright in the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter, you can be part of it as well by going to the community section on Twitter, type in Sedano and Cap in the search, and you can join there.
Yeah, but you could also get kicked out by the dictator.
Correct. You got to get past the velvet rope to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So all right. There's that.
All right. So what's his deal, this guy?
He says that the patio potato chips are in stock at Trader Joe's.
Oh, really?
A picture just now.
Oh, how lovely.
Yes.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
Like I said, my daughter's already went to Trader Joe's today.
Yeah. And Beto and Whittier says, with all this chip talk, I submit this banger for the win. Also, one of my regular favorite chip, because you can't get the patio chips other than the summer at Trader Joe's. The sweet Maui onion Hawaiian.
Okay. Those
kettle,
are good. Those are good.
Chips.
Those are good.
Yeah.
I'll say this. They're very, very crunchy.
Very salty.
Nice and salty. A little, and I'm not opposed to this,
yeah.
A little greasy.
Yeah.
Okay? But generally speaking, that's a hell of a good chip.
You know that they also make a onion ring version of it.
Did not know that.
Yeah, it's like a, it looks like a Funyun,
uh-huh.
But it's a Hawaiian onion ring, but it's the same flavor. Mateo, big fan.
Really?
Circle chips, he calls them.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I like this whole concept, Lindsay Baseball, of chip-offs. You know, like last week when you brought in those Doritos and I was the only one that liked those mustard Doritos, that was good. I think trying more chips is a
winner. Oh, my God. I saw them in the... I went to CVS the other day and saw the mustard chips.
You didn't buy them?
No.
Well, Cappy, I thought that this was problematic. You like the idea, but...
But then you don't want to eat them because you're saying, oh, I'm getting so fat. I gotta go run and I gotta do a marathon. And
the Cappy cast also doesn't like it because they said...
Oh, that too.
They feel like you stole that from them. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
You, as in like me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
What do you guys
Well, get, like, and also then there's Emily who doesn't let anybody else talk about food.
That's right. True. Stole that from her too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true though. I did have to go for a run this weekend and didn't really go that well, frankly, if I'm being honest about it. I kind of got to the finish line of this run.
Yeah.
And I put in some miles. I put in a couple miles.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the time.
Yeah.
God, am I slow.
Yeah. It's okay. You're old.
No. Old, true. But I will tell you this. There's a discrimination out there that I don't like.
What's that?
Okay. There's a discrimination out there, and I can feel it.
Okay.
When you're running, okay, if you're jogging, and you're jogging really slow, and somebody else is jogging at a better pace, they give you like this judgmental look, like you shouldn't even be running. You're so slow, you shouldn't even be running. So then I started to pick it up.
Yeah.
I started to pick it up. And I noticed...
Did they give you the, hey, left, coming on your left?
Yeah, they give you, hey, on your left, on your left, on your left. I'm going so slow.
Yeah.
I'm barely moving.
Yeah.
Other runners are looking at me like, how dare you even be out here in our way?
Right.
So then I pick up my pace.
Yeah.
I pick it up a little bit, right? Yeah. I'm starting to feel good now, right? I'm in
By
my...
the way, you're schwitzing now just even talking
about
it.
Well, because, I mean, look at me. Look at the motion that I'm in, right? And then all of a sudden, as I'm picking it up, now runners are looking at me like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Hey, hope you're having a nice day.
And how tired are you at that point?
Very tired.
Yeah.
Very tired. There's a discrimination out there, okay, about running. If you're super slow, the faster people, they look down on you. Just so you know. It's not nice.
Same with the cycling community, I would imagine.
No question about it.
Yeah.
Get out of the way.
Yeah.
You're in the way here. Yeah. What are you doing, pal?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's true.
All right, real quick before I get to Bobby Alvarez, let's talk about the finals real quick.
Okay, what would you like to talk about?
So game three, pivotal in the series. Do you know the percentage that go on to win the series that win game three in a 1-1 tie?
62.4%.
Actually much higher, 80%.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, 80%.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked about this series, there were a couple of things that I thought would be important, right? It was, how are the others playing, right? Mm-hmm. The non-Jokic, non-Jimmy Butler guys.
Mm-hmm.
And in game one... Denver's other guys balled out.
Big time. Big game.
And in game two, they did not. And the Heat's guys balled out.
No question.
Duncan Robinson had 10 points in the fourth quarter. All 10 points of his came in the fourth quarter.
When your leading scorer on Miami is Gabe Vincent, you know your other guys have had a good night.
He has played really well during the playoffs, though. He has earned himself a really, really good contract, and I'm happy for a guy like that. Shout out to the Gauchos of Santa Barbara.
When Duncan Robinson, as you just point out, scores 10 points in the fourth quarter, that's a contribution that you're not really expecting necessarily to get, but when it happens, you're more likely to win. Not that dissimilar.
And he gave you a snarl at the end.
He didn't give you like an ear, like
no,
like a Hulk Hogan.
The cupping to the ear is what he did in Boston, but he gave you a snarl. Once he hit, because he hit a couple layups, he had two big threes, one in Jeff Green's face from like 30 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just like, oh, you're going to try to guard me out here? No, I'm going to shoot this.
And I'm going to snarl at you after it's done.
Well, he snarled after the layup. But
Nonetheless,
Yeah, I mean, it was what I've tried to tell you about this series that I think that sticks out to me is that Miami's the tougher team. And I don't remember who it was in the postgame for Denver yesterday that said that, basically, that they want to play at their pace or whatever, because that was another thing we talked about.
Well,
playing
coach,
at each other's paces.
Their coach, Michael Malone,
is playing with fire.
Well, he wasn't bashful yesterday
but
after
the game.
He's playing
with fire.
Well, I want to hear what you mean by that.
Yeah.
But he was not bashful after the game in criticizing his team's effort. And in particular, criticizing their lack of defense. There were, it seemed like, a lot, I mean a lot, of open looks for the Heat. So Malone, after the game, goes to the press conference and he's like, yeah, our defensive effort just sucked. Really was non-existent. So when you say he's playing with fire, what exactly are you talking about?
So he's the type of guy that lives with brutal honesty, right? And that stuff gets old after a while in the world of sports as you know it, right? Like, not everybody can play for Tom Coughlin, right, all the time. Or Bill Parcells, or those guys who are just going to mother bleep you, and like their emotions run high, right? Whether it's they love you or they're cursing you out, right? And I think that when I looked at their team, two of the guys that I thought, and I say this respectfully because they're one of 450 guys in the entire league, right?
Okay, here comes a but.
That I think could be potential issues for them. One was Michael Porter Jr., I told you before the series, because I feel like at times he makes...
He scored 5 points yesterday, George.
Well, but forget that. He just makes silly mistakes, right? Like, he makes mistakes on the floor a lot. And he's become a much better player than he was, for sure, particularly on the defensive end. But yesterday, Miami ran him through the grinder in pick and roll. And he was like missing assignments, running with the wrong guy, left guys open like Duncan Robinson or Gabe Vincent or whatever, right? Like, you can't have that. This is the same guy that in the Lakers series, the Lakers almost pulled off a victory because he couldn't inbound the damn ball.
But why is the coach, though, why are you saying he's playing with fire?
Okay, let me get to that. And then you've got a guy like Aaron Gordon,
okay,
right, who is... You know, he went from being the best guy on a really bad team to being the fourth best guy on a championship level team. And I think that deserves a lot of credit and praise. But I would also say that he's a guy that can run hot and cold, right? Both output and even just like kind of where he fits. Because he doesn't have a traditional skill set. He's very athletic, but he's not like he's some great shooter or he's a great ball handler. He's a great finisher is what he is. It's a very limited skill set offensively. Excellent defender. So I think he runs hot and cold both on the floor and perhaps even with his emotions. So I thought those two guys could be big problems for them in the series as it progresses if Miami can get some wins. And what I mean by Michael Malone is playing with fire is that eventually the yelling, it gets old. And so I heard yesterday that Michael Porter Jr. left before talking to the media. Aaron Gordon had his hands or his head buried in his hands at his locker for minutes upon minutes upon minutes upon minutes, then literally just got up and left. Didn't speak to the media.
And you're kind of putting two and two together here that maybe they got balled out after the game?
Oh, well, if he did that publicly, Lord knows what he did behind the scenes. So while I respect Michael Malone because he wears his emotions on his sleeve, I think sometimes that can backfire on you.
Well, look, I think that the Heat, as an example, very much do things their way, and they find players who can deal with their way.
Right.
And I
no
think,
feelings there.
And I think that Michael Malone has gotten this team to this point by coaching the way he coaches. And his players, I would think, are accustomed to the style by now. The question you're asking is...
But not at this point in the season. They've never been here.
But he's driving them the way he has always coached them.
Right. I'm just saying that it's a very volatile situation in the sense of that can either work perfectly and they come out and they blow their doors off. Denver blows out Miami in game three, or it can remain in there. It can fester and it could become an issue throughout the rest of the series.
You don't want to take guys down. You want to hype guys up.
Yeah.
And I understand what you're saying, that the yelling and the, I'll call it negativity.
Some guys grip it too tight.
Let's see what happens.
Right.
As this series goes on.
But I think that that's one. I'm just saying it's not. I'm not saying one outcome is definitely happening. I'm just saying it's something to look out for. When I say playing with fire, I mean it's that. It's just like something to take note of now, and let's see what the reaction is as the series progresses.
Mm-hmm. It has become interesting. I will say this again. I said earlier, like, if you don't have a team in this thing and you don't have like a lot of rooting interest in this thing, but you're just a sports fan, the storylines of these two franchises, it makes it exciting.
Bobby Alvarez Jr. has apologized.
Apologized for what?
Well, I don't know about it. He's apologized to the girls, said sorry if I came off too strong, actually put flower emojis.
Give them flowers.
For the girls.
Okay.
And a puppy dog gif of the dog just kind of crawling like, I'm sorry.
Typical man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just like, just groveling.
And then, you know, he said to me, you know, just kidding. He was just kidding.
Oh, it's just a JK.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Just remember one thing before we hit this top
of
the hour
break.
So
Bobby Alvarez?
Yeah. Come back.
Return flight from hell.
Come back from hell. I'm Breezy.
One more hour to go.